1 pitch. It is swung on and belted! Deep right field! Dalton Pompey! That's your first big league home run, and you did it off of Felix Hernandez! Dalton Pompey with his first major league home run. And yeah, I got a little excited there. But you know what? It was an exciting moment. It tied the game 2-2, and the Blue Jays went on to beat the Mariners 10-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. But before we do, a special guest takes me back a long time. Now he's all big and famous. Oh, no, we got you up here. George Strombolopoulos is here with us.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm well, man. Really nice to see you. I've been listening to you for a long time. It's good to be in the booth.
It's great to have you in this place. Huh? It was a lot better than the Holly Street Studios where you were board op and I was interning for RUMAC.
That's that was so long ago.
Yeah.
I liked those studios, but this is nice. It's the Dome. It's close to home, Rogers Center. I still love coming out here watching ball.
How can you not, right?
Well, you know, when I worked across the street at CBC for 10 years, and many times we'd get off the air and just walk down the street. We can get really affordable tickets from a speculator on the street and pop in and catch five or six innings of the game, buy tickets in the 500 level, just walk down. There was room.
Yeah, but now they put you in suites now.
That was just because I had to work tonight. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. You threw out the first pitch. I tweeted out a couple of pictures of it. Very interesting form.
Right.
I liked it.
I was going for it.
You're a little high,
yep,
but it was across the plate, and that's what you want.
Here's what I figured out being an opening pitch thrower. It doesn't matter how high it is, provided he can catch it.
Right.
The death is if you bounce it.
Right.
So get it over the plate. Don't bounce it. That's all I thought about was don't bounce it. So I let him know it's going to come up because I cannot bounce it. And he's like, I'll catch it. And he just said it with Mark Burley and caught it.
As long as it doesn't go in one of the dugouts like 50 Cent
or
Charlie Ray Jepsen.
I would do that too if I had that much money because I'd be thinking about what I'm going to do with that money that night. No, for me, I just didn't. It's funny because I'm not worried about anything. I even tweeted this. I don't really care what people think about me. And I don't. If there's any stress or anxiety in my life, I dismiss it because I don't want to be hindered by anything. The only thing that kept me up at night was don't bounce the pitch. Don't bounce the pitch. I loved it. It was so much fun.
I'm very, very
And I got
proud
to wear my rest
you.
In peace MCA jersey
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, that was very cool,
you
too.
Know, I like that.
A little shout out. Very nice. Yeah. I'm thinking if they ever ask me to do that, and they haven't yet, I can't imagine why, but they haven't yet. I'm going to go like Mark Eichhorn style and do sidearm and just try to throw a strike.
I thought Dan Quisenberry at first.
Yeah,
I was going to come from
not?
The underhand.
Just scrape your knuckles.
Right, but then I realized if I did that, I would fall, and then that would be all over YouTube, and that's not how I want to be.
That is reasonable.
I think so.
This is George Strombolopoulos, who is now all big and fancy, and he is the host of Hockey Night in Canada. And that's those words. I mean, like I sit in here and think there have only been four regular play-by-play guys on the Blue Jays radio, and I can't believe I'm in that company.
You are.
Dave Hodge, Ron McLean, and you, and that's about the last 40 years of Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. I don't even think about it, to be honest with you, because it's just too much. It's just too much. So I just think I once heard Neil Armstrong talking about going to the moon, and he kept referring to himself as a technician going to the job site. And that's right. What I do. I think about myself as I'm a worker going to work. If I start thinking about it in any other context, it would be too weird for me. I'm just excited to do it. Ron McLean will be there. Don Cherry will be there. You know, Nick Kiprios will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun to be around that. And, you know, I grew up watching that game.
Sure.
And I've been on doing media for 20-odd years now. So I feel like I'm ready to do a show like this. I just can't believe it's a couple of weeks away.
That's amazing. You know,
as of right now, I think the Habs and Bruins are tied at deuces, right, in the first regular or preseason game. So I'm excited just to see hockey again.
Yeah, the Leafs and Flyers are just playing down the block right now.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Do you feel like this is kind of full circle for you? I mean,
yeah.
I kid around that you're all fancy now, but I mean, you're a very successful talk show host, and it's very weird for me to be interviewing you when you interview all these people. But I mean, you started in the broadcast industry in sports.
Yeah, and it actually feels. It feels very normal to me, and I think in part because it is where I started, but also that so many of the people that I'll be working with are people I worked with then. An example, so here I am on the radio with you. I'm going to be doing a radio segment and on Hockey Night in Canada with Jeff Merrick. That's family to
right.
me, right? To be on the air with with Merrick is absolutely incredible. And the producers, Brian Spears, I saw Todd Macklin and Greg Sansoni inside today, who are producers. If you've been listening to The Fan for any, the Toronto station for any length of time, you've heard those names. Stelich is around. So it's just people that we've all worked together. Damian Cox, we worked together back in the early 90s. So in a way, it feels very normal. And I'm excited for that part of it. I just know that this is going to be a much bigger deal. I mean, the Habs game wasn't broadcast west of Ottawa today, and people were all freaking out going, your boss is at Rogers, blah, blah, blah. So, but coming from CBC, I'm used to that.
Right.
Somebody's, you, I've listened to your show and have to know that you're used to somebody whining about something all the time. So I'm kind of excited to do it with a team and a lot of the people that I've worked with for so long.
With George Strombolopoulos here, it is kind of family, and I was just thinking you should come into The Fan on a Sunday morning and work with Jordy Mittelstadt again.
That's right,
like we did in the middle of the night. But how,
and Jim Richards, who was here at the game with us tonight,
I guess it's not weird anymore, but with all those people, when you worked with them, you were with them behind the glass, not in front of the camera. And obviously, you've done it for so long that it's no longer a thing. But seeing all those guys, does it bring back all those memories?
It does. It's really interesting to if you're a self-aware person and you're an introspective or thoughtful person, you can't help but notice that you're older, everybody's older, and here we are, and what will we do now? Because those early days, you have so much energy. So I spent an awful lot of time and work into the craft of maintaining that enthusiasm. And thankfully, because back in those early days, enthusiasm was what drove us. We didn't have any money for food or rent, so it was enthusiasm and passion. Luckily, I still have the enthusiasm and passion. Maybe I'll always just feel like a young guy in the business, and I like working with people who are more experienced than me because it always keeps me in that position where I feel like I'm working to honor them. So at The Fan, I always wanted to honor McCowan because he's such a great, or Schulman, such a great, right? And, you know, I get into this situation, Ron and Don are around. You just want to honor what they've done and honor what Dave Hodge did for so many years. And that kind of stuff keeps me going. And I suppose because I know how much work has to go into it, I never really feel like I've accomplished anything. I'm just a technician going to the job site.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, that you feel that way. And from, you know, when we were working together at The Fan, I wasn't making anything. I was interning back then, and you were, you know, it was enthusiasm and it was love, and we were sponges, and we picked up everything from everybody we worked with. And you mentioned McCown and Danny Shulman and those guys, and I kind of feel still like the kid here too.
Yeah.
We both got some gray going on. I mean, but I mean, and I.
Well, you're sitting next to Howarth, right? So you're sitting next to a Hall of Fame broadcaster, right? Or should be
right,
in the Hall of Fame.
And I sat next to Cheek for a few years too,
exactly.
Which was like
out of this
stupid.
World.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to want to always feel that way.
But I'm always going to be the kid.
You should
be. But I think too, with even though we're not kids anymore, we still kind of bring a little bit of exuberance and enthusiasm that, you know, Hockey Night in Canada is a phenomenal tradition, but it's very buttoned down and it's very serious, and you're neither of those things,
right.
And I'm neither of those things. Are you going to, like, how do you balance honoring the tradition with still bringing what you bring?
I think what you do, and I don't fully know the answer to it because I think it'll have to evolve over time. I think after 20 odd years on the radio or on TV, this is just who I am. Mm-hmm. So that's it. And I think Rogers knew that, and the NHL knew that when they started to talk to me about this gig. It's the work ethic and the craft that allows you to really focus on the legacy of a broadcast because you know what has to go into it. So I come from the era, like you do, of growing up listening to this stuff, watching this stuff, but moreover, loving what they did. So I'll always have that in me because I'm in this business because of them. So I'm not an ego guy. So I don't show up and be like, oh, now watch what I'm going to do. That's never been how I am. And I've said this in every press release is that the game's the star. So that's all that matters. The game, and maybe for 5-6 minutes what Don Cherry says, but the game's the star. So I honor the game. What I will bring to it is I'm a different generation. I'm a different kind of Canadian, right? I'm not the farm boy Canadian. I'm not that Canadian. I'm the first person in my family born in Canada kind of Canadian. I grew up in those ethnic neighborhoods kind of Canadian. I played street hockey more than I played ice hockey. I didn't know anybody with a backyard rink, but I love hockey as much as anybody. So I have a different experience with the game, and I think that they want the audience to know that there are lots of different ways you can get to this chair, right? And lots of different ways to be a Canadian. So I'll just, my experiences will allow me to bring that to the table. Yeah, I'm a bit more off the cuff, and I'm a little bit more perhaps edgy.
Yeah, and just even more relaxed and
loose.
Yeah,
for sure. And you know what? And I think that's cool. I mean, in that it works for me. I think Rogers knew what they were getting when they asked me to do this. I don't know if they fully know what it is. I hope they
They're gonna.
But what I do know is that in the very beginning, people, Canadians specifically, hockey fans even more so, are always resistant to change. We love to complain about things, and then when we change it, people don't like it. Here's a great example, and you know this. The Blue Jays are practically done in the play.
Well, I'm going to check because they may, in fact, be mathematically done right now. It just depends on. Yep, game's over.
So it's over.
It's out.
So they're out.
They're done.
And people are like, I hear the calls on your show now. People are like, oh, the Blue Jays. We haven't had a meaningful game this late in the season in a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you would have told us 4 years ago we would be here, there would be a different level of excitement. But we very quickly forget.
Yeah, if this season had gone backwards, I think. Yeah. Like if they'd started off slow and built to this and were, you know, three games out 2 weeks ago, people would be going nuts.
Going nuts, right. But it's just not how it goes in Toronto. So we don't change for us is weird. We don't like it if it doesn't go entirely our way. And I totally understand that. What I do know is that all the people who helped make Hockey Night in Canada great, a lot of them are still part of the broadcast. Rogers was very wise to take people from CBC, people from the Rogers family, people from TSN, smart to do that, right? Because you want to assemble the best hockey team in the business. But moreover, you want to assemble the best television team in the business. And I think what I can bring to it is, because I believe Ron McLean was 26 when he got the job, and I think Dave Hodge was 26 when he got the job. I'm 42.
Right,
I'm 27. Now. I'm 42. I'm much older than those two cats were when they got the gig. So I will bring a lot of experience as a broadcaster to the table. And they've had so many Leaf fans on that show. It's about time they had somebody who liked another team.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
I can't wait.
That's going to be different.
It's funny how people are freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh, you're going to be so pro Habs. Well, no, that doesn't give you the opportunity to be pro Habs. But if the Habs win, of course I'll be happy. I'm a hockey fan.
Right.
You don't want a non-hockey fan to be on that broadcast.
No, that would be a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm a hockey fan, so I'm excited to be a part of that.
What's it like, and we're naming all these fan guys, there's one guy who we didn't, who was with me as an intern, and then, you know, stuck it out a little bit longer than I did, showed that he kind of knew his basketball and went on to great things, and now you're reunited with Elliot Friedman.
To be on the air with the Friege is going to be so exciting for me because I remember I was sleeping in Scott Metcalf's office on his couch, who was the sports news director at the time.
I remember that couch.
And I slept on that couch. And I remember, you know, from time to time I would go in there looking for the couch, but Elliot was sleeping there. And Elliot was just a kid too. And I remember him and I just kind of feeling like we were in this together. Like, we're in this together. Merrick was part of that group as well as Mako. And it was nice to be on TV. And there'll be a moment on Hockey Night in Canada on one Saturday night where Jeff Merrick will do a pregame show, will throw to me, and at some point I will throw to Elliot. And I think about people like Nelson Millman, Bob Mackowitz Sr., Alan Davis,
yep,
who will Scott Metcalf,
sure,
who will look around and they will have a sense of pride because they're boys. Like, and we were boys, man. Like Patti Smith wrote in her book, Just Kids. We were just kids. Mm-hmm. And all three of us happened to be on the same show, and that show happens to be Hockey Night in Canada. So I can promise Canadians that nobody on that team takes the responsibility lightly. We are, from producers, editors, assistants, everybody, the boss, we are in this to really show that you can honor the tradition of CBC's Hockey Night in Canada and build on it. And that, you know me, man, that's not company talk.
No.
Because none of us want to go down in flames with this thing. Right?
That's the thing.
Yeah,
you got to be good. And we know you're going
to
be good.
We want it to be great. We love it. Like, I love this so much. I love the fact that baseball's part of the mix. You know, one of my favorite things to watch on television is Inside the NBA, you know, that TNT show with Barkley and Shaq and Kenny the Jet and Ernie. There's great stuff that they do. So I think we can take hockey television and add a little bit different view of television to it, a different prism, and I think people are going to love it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's great that this whole generation of, you know, and I go back to, we still think of ourselves as kids. We're all in our mid-40s now.
I went out there throwing a first pitch wearing my Jordans,
yeah,
wearing a jersey that said MCA Rest in Peace on the back. We're always going to be those kids.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. But you think back into those rooms, though, and I wasn't there when Merrick was there. I think he might have been a little after.
Well,
me
you were
at
680 at the time, and then you came over.
And then I came over, and then Rogers had to buy us to get me back.
To get you back.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's how.
That's why they made the deal.
I'm pretty sure.
For Wilner.
That's what Tony Viner said when he walked into that meeting. But I mean, there were working at the Fan in between like 1992 and 1995. You had Elliot, you, me, Danny Shulman, Eric Smith, who's doing the Raptors broadcast now. And it's like almost drafting and developing. And I hate to – I don't want to put myself in that group.
But you are.
But that talent, that's the next generation of Canadian and now that you're in sports, sportscasters, it really was – I mean –
But there's a reason. There's a reason for it, and it's a reason. And I'm not even sure Rodgers is in a position to do it again. I don't know. The reason was they let us do our thing.
Yeah, they left us alone.
They left us alone. And if you have good bosses who hire interesting people, we were all creative people. We had all varied interests. Put us in a room and said, "Now do your thing." Like Mackowitz Senior said, "Do your thing." At one point, we said something on the air that was so egregious that I was convinced we were going to get fired. Me, Bob Jr., and Jeff Merrick. So egregious we were going to get fired for it. And Mackowitz said, as your boss, I can't let you do it. But as a fan, as a listener, I loved it. So tell you what, I'm just not going to listen anymore. Do your thing.
That's
that
perfect.
Doesn't exist anymore, right?
You can't.
You can't, but it should. And you have to create a space for interesting or interested people to turn into interesting people, young people. And there are almost no outlets for that anymore, except every kid is their own broadcaster now with the internet.
Right, with YouTube, yeah.
Right. So what all I would say to every kid out there, get your links of your shows and your tapes to people who are way better than you and have them give you air checks, have them give you advice, because that's what I think worked so well at the Fan back in the day. Was it wasn't just that we were young kids doing our own thing, is that if you stayed there late enough, Derringer walked in the room. Mm-hmm. McCowan walked in the room. I mean, Shulman was a youngster, but Shulman was
but
a legend.
He was different.
He was like, Shulman was like, it was an alien. It's like, who is this super talented guy? I remember when Gordon Damian first started, they were young, but very quickly Gordon Damian became that status. Norm Rumack, Storm and Norman was so gracious. Spider Jones, so gracious to young broadcasters and young behind-the-scenes guys. I remember saying to Nelson Millman one day, Nelson, I Saturday night between like 2 in the morning and 6 a.m., you just replay a baseball game. And the Jays were already losing at this point. You just replay a baseball game. He said, yes, we do, because we can't afford to put anybody else on. I said, well, how about this? There's this kid you have here called Eric Smith. Why don't you let Eric and I go on the radio and just start a show? I think this Eric is going to be really cool. He's really smart. And Nelson, without thinking about it, went, all right, yeah, go for it. I can't pay you. I said, no problem. And he let Eric and I go on and work together and develop that kind of stuff. You need to do that. Yep. But we had Nelson around. We didn't want to disrespect the opportunity. So the one downside to just broadcasting online is you don't feel like you have anything to honor. And at the Fan, you felt like you had something to honor. I don't know that there will ever be another place that does that again. I hope one of the bazillion channels that Rogers or the other company owns takes one station and just creates a space where they can get really interested kids turn them into interesting ones.
There are still a lot of interesting kids out there.
Tons.
There's no question
There's
about
tons,
that.
Man. I listen, like, I it's funny because I listen to your show all the time, and the scraps you have with listeners is fantastic. But I can hear in some of those kids, they're not even kids, some of the youngsters I can hear and think, okay, that person knows how to form an argument. That person knows how to get under your skin. That person with the right kind of training could be an interesting commentator. Mm. You can hear it out there.
For sure.
You just got to give them space.
Yeah, and they got to not make me as angry.
I think it's amazing. No, but you're funny now because you just go, okay, next. It makes me laugh all the time.
There's only so much you can do.
If I still drank, I would do a drinking game to Jay's talk. I'd love it.
I'm sure there's one out there. I'm sure there are several out there that are probably being tweeted right now. This is George Strombolopoulos. Blue Jays beat the Mariners, by the way, 10-2. You watched the game.
I did.
You see this 21-year-old from Mississauga take King Felix deep in the fifth inning. That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah. It reminds me of the Jays always have that player. He shows up early in his career. Knock, knock, knock. I wonder. Now, I heard a report today that Gibbons is reportedly coming back next year. I saw that on Twitter.
It's a new thing today. Shy reported it last week.
Yeah, is it real?
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's coming back.
There's no question.
Well, you know, players seem to like him, I guess. So maybe this kid will be given a chance to grow. I always like September for that reason, though.
Yeah, you get to see the little flowers bloom, as it were.
And September baseball, to me, when you're a team that's not in the playoffs, is kind of like the last two holes if you play golf. If you do well in those last two, you can't wait to get back the next time. So September gives us a chance to think, okay, all is not lost. Maybe this kid will be our next whoever knows.
He's certainly in the conversation now, which is more than he was a couple of weeks
ago. It's
amazing,
though. Had they won a few games just a month ago.
Yeah.
This series against Seattle
huge.
Would be huge.
Huge.
This room would have been packed, and it would have mattered. Now, all it is 2, 3, 4 games. So when people say, 162 games don't matter, those 4, 5, 6 games mattered right now.
Mm-hmm. It would have been spectacular, and hopefully we can do it next year and have it mean that much more, have three times as many people in this place, and have the city go nuts like it did 20 years ago.
You know, the Raptors showed a lot of people what Toronto would be like.
For a first-round loss, the city went nuts.
I know.
That's how starved we are.
I know. And it's an exciting team, and it's a team that has drive, right? That's what you need. That's a great sport for that. You know, if the Leafers have an even half-decent second half of their season, you're going to see that as well.
Yep.
And I'm not a believer that the Leafs are toast. I don't think the Leafs are going to have the worst season on record. I don't think they're in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes.
It's tough to not make the playoffs for a whole decade.
It's in the East. If they're in the West, I would say the Leafs aren't going to make the playoffs until my next lifetime. But this is the East. They're going to have a chance to do something.
Absolutely true. George, this has been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, man. I was sitting there watching the game, and I saw you tweeted at me, and I went, oh, all right, there you go.
It's beautiful to have you around. I want, because you are the professional Polish broadcaster, the host of Hockey Night in Canada. First of all, when's the first Saturday night?
The 11th of October.
11th of October. Yeah. George Strombolopoulos makes his debut. As we say goodbye to you, I want you to throw to Gibby's post-game media scrum.
I'm sure this is going to be an interesting post-game scrum as well, because it'll be a bit bittersweet. Excited for the kids, excited for the Canadian kid, Gibby's typical gregarious self, but deep inside he knows what happened in the other game, and the Blue Jays have been eliminated. So take it away, Gib.
So, Felix Hernandez, too bad you couldn't face him all the time, huh? For some reason, you guys hit him, and you hit him hard every time he faces you.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, but I don't think that's every time. But, you know, I mean, he started out really good, and then, you know, we got that one inning. I think I said a couple of weeks ago that it's amazing what happens to us. You know, simple bunt sometimes, you know, it's really. And then it just, I mean, then we hit around and batted around. But we got some good things. You know, Pompey got his first home run. We had some good at-bats. You know, Ghost, a nice double down the line there. So we did a lot of good things. And, you know, I mean, after last night scoring a lot of runs, you know, we've been starved for runs and beat a couple pretty good, damn good pitchers.
John, when you're facing another team that's fighting for a playoff spot, is there any extra motivation or satisfaction in getting in their way, you know, even if you're not playing for it yourself?
Maybe. I'm not sure. You know, I think everybody's disappointed where we're at. But, you know, they could come out and try to win a game. You know, you face, you know, the guys we did the last couple nights. You know, it's not going to be an easy task. I mean, these are rare things, you know, especially doing a back-to-back days against those guys. So you just enjoy that. But, you try to win. But, yeah, I mean, you enjoy if somebody else got a shot at it and you're at the end, you know, you get a little enjoyment out of it. That's not what drives you, but it never hurts.
R.A. Dickey's put together a string of some pretty solid starts here in the last couple of months. What's his consistency meant for your rotation?
Well, I mean, he's been really good. You know, for the most part lately, he's been staying away from the home run ball. But, you know, I mean, you know, the roof was open. He was really good tonight, so that kind of dispels that theory. You know, when his knuckleball's on, he's awfully tough, you know, it's tough to square it up. I mean, they're going to get it every now and then if it kind of just sits there. But, yeah, he's been on a nice little roll. I think that was his 14th win. He's had a heck of a year.
Kawasaki back in the 5-hole tomorrow?
Why not? Give you guys something to talk about.
Pompey was telling me on the field that, you know, power really is not part of his usual game, but we've seen him hit the ball hard a few times for flyouts, even that one he went opposite field on the road that almost went out. Do you see this guy being someone who could at some point hit 15, 20 home runs, or is it too soon to kind of say?
Well, it's early to say, but, yeah, I could definitely see that because, I mean, he's got some leverage. He's a big kid, and he's only going to get stronger. I mean, he's strong now. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, he's got a good swing, you know. He's, you know, we were talking the last few days, he's got a great idea of the strike zone. But when you have a good swing, I mean, you got a chance to be a good hitter, and I don't think he'll be known as a power hitter, but there's no reason he couldn't hit his share. And, you know, he's got a chance to be a very dangerous player, you know, whether it's on the offensive side and the defensive side, you know. And he's got a good head on his shoulder, you know. He's a, you know, very intelligent kid. You know, he's taking it all in right now. But you look at him when he's standing in the batter's box, I mean, he looks like a veteran hitter. And, you know, the first time up for him, I mean, you really never know what you're going to get. where, you know, some kids are intimidated. We haven't seen that out of him at all.
John, if Kansas City hangs on tonight in the ninth inning, that would officially eliminate you guys. When you go back at the end of this year, how do you think you're going to reflect back on how things went this season? What's going to stick out for you the most?
I won't reflect one bit. I've been doing it for 6 months. What sticks out? I don't know. I mean, a lot of good times, a lot of tough times. But I said, you know, in the end, the teams that get there earn it. You know, your best teams go. The ones that aren't, they don't go. I mean, it's just the way it is. When you play that many games.
There he is, Blue Jays skipper John Gibbons. And after that post-game news conference, the Blue Jays were mathematically eliminated from playoff consideration. I mean, we'd known since they got swept in Baltimore that it was done. But they're mathematically out right now. Kansas City beat the Cleveland Indians 7-1. So the Royals are all but in. They have a 3-game lead on the Mariners, 4.5 on the Indians. And the Yankees are down 5-4 to the Baltimore Orioles in the bottom of the ninth right now. So if with two out and nobody on, if Baltimore holds on to win, and they've outhit the Yankees 17-5 tonight. They lead 5-4. If Baltimore holds on to win that game, the Yankees will be 5 games out of a playoff spot with 5 games to play. So they're done too. In Kansas City, it looks as though the Royals will be in the playoffs for the first time since 1985. In the National League, Pittsburgh beat Atlanta 3-2. Cincinnati beat Milwaukee 3-1, which means the Pirates are in and the Brewers are on the brink of elimination. With the Giants' next win or the Brewers' next loss, Milwaukee's out and San Francisco clinches a spot. The Giants are trailing the Dodgers 1-0 in the bottom of the first. San Fran still has breath in the NL West because they're playing the Dodgers, but they're 3.5 games back and again down 1-0. Thanks so much to George Strombolopoulos for popping in. That was a great conversation with him. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I do. Blue Jays talk, we'll get to your calls. I promise you, that's next. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Your calls are next. Blue Jays beat the Mariners 10-2. Dalton Pompey with his first Major League home run. R.A. Dickey with his 14th win of the season. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That is belted deep left field, and that is gone. Edwin joins a party. He's taken his parrot for a walk for the 34th time this year. Two-run homer for Edwin Encarnacion. That made it 10-2 Blue Jays, and that's your final score. The Jays pound the Seattle Mariners. Felix Hernandez with his worst season, or pardon me, inning. Season, he's going to win the Cy Young Award. Worst inning ever. He gives up 7 earned runs in the fifth. A 13-batter frame, Felix facing the first 10 hitters of that inning. The Blue Jays officially eliminated from playoff consideration tonight despite their win because Kansas City beat the Indians 7-1. The Jays are now a game behind the New York Yankees for second place in the American League East and one win away from assuring that they will not have a fourth straight losing season. Is that the deal? Or is it a third straight? I think they were 81-81 in 2011. Yeah, so it would be they've had 2 losing seasons in a row. They're 1 win away from guaranteeing that it won't be 3 losing seasons in a row. And 2 wins away from their first winning season since 2010. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with George Strombolopoulos as much as I did. This radio station, back when it was the Fan 1430, was a factory of young broadcast talent that you're all hearing and seeing a lot of now. And, of course, the biggest ones to come out were Strombo and Danny Shulman and Elliot Friedman. And just to be part of that group is unbelievable. And Strombo was terrific, and you're going to love him as the host of Hockey Night in Canada. But we're taking your Blue Jays calls, 416-870-0590, star 590, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Dave is in Lacombe, Alberta. Thanks for holding, Dave. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Oh, I feel like a kid. I've been in this country since 1983, and then I've been listening to the Blue Jays, watch the Blue Jays, and then, you know, today I'm excited because, you know, I thought they had a chance this year. They started good, and all of a sudden the offense gone. Now my question, Mike, is like, when Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, they should be back next year.
Oh, I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, because, you know, like Rogers, a lot of people think the Rogers will not spend money for the Blue Jays next year.
They're already under contract.
Well, that's pretty good.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's like they need like, I don't know, it's like they need help.
They do.
They need help.
They do. They need a little bit of help, and they need to be able to stay healthy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they're not, then that's it.
Yep, then you got problems. That's for sure.
And then the pitching is always good. And then I don't think the old players that we have, like Mark Burley and Dickey, I mean, I got nothing against them. They're good. But you know what? Time has changed.
I don't think time's up on either one of those guys. I'm not at the point, and I appreciate the call, Dave, where I would be surprised if one of them wasn't back next year. But I think the Blue Jays will be just fine if they bring them both back. For me, Mark Burley at $19 million, it's a little too much for a bottom-of-the-rotation guy. And if you can improve in other areas by moving him, that's something that the Blue Jays should look at doing. They beat the Mariners tonight 10-2, best pitching staff in the major leagues, and the Blue Jays have put up double-digit runs on them in back-to-back games. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call, Mike.
Thanks, Eddie.
I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, Dalton Pompey, I mean, you know, what can you say about this guy? I mean, he's had two great games for the Blue Jays on this series. You know, that diving catch he made, and then tonight it's his home run. And I agree with what you said earlier on. Anytime you can hit a home run off Felix Hernandez, that's something you're going to remember for a long time because, you know, we know how good Felix is. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to remember that for a long time. And now I know that we're eliminated, and there's some things I want to see from the Blue Jays. Number one, obviously finish strong, have a winning record. And number two, do something that they haven't done in a long time, finish ahead of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, it has been a long time since they finished ahead of the New York Yankees, hasn't it? I don't know that that's happened since 1993. It hasn't, actually. 1993 was the last time the Blue Jays finished ahead of the Yankees in the standings.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I know the Yankees are old and that sort of thing, but you know what, when you think about, you know, history and how many division titles the Yankees have won over the years, and it's like, you know, we're tired of being second fiddle to them. So at least for once, you know, finish ahead of them and say to ourselves, we finish ahead of the New York Yankees. That to me is an accomplishment in itself for this team that probably did not, you know, have no business finishing ahead of them, and now it might happen. So I'm hoping that they do.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eddie. I have to tell you, it doesn't mean as much to me as it does to you. It's for me a hollow accomplishment. I mean, I certainly expected them to finish ahead of the Yankees this year. You know, when you don't make the playoffs, some would say it doesn't matter where you finish. I think it would be good to finish second. I think you want to finish as strong as possible, as high up in the standings as you possibly can. And again, now a game back of second place, but finishing, quote-unquote, ahead of the Yankees, the big bad Bronx Bombers, doesn't mean as much as it would have a few years ago, just because they're not that good. Blue Jays are 80-77. Yankees are 81-76. Orioles are 94-63. Brendan is in Thornhill. Brendan, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Given the rise of the young starting pitching this year, and a lot of them seem to be on the fringe of possibly making the rotation next year, and three rotation spots likely to be taken by Happ, Stroman, and Hutchison for next year, given contract scenarios and whatnot, and the fact the Blue Jays may look to shed a little bit of salary to maybe improve the infield, do you think one of R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley could be gone next year? And if so, which one would most likely to be gone?
I do think that's a possibility. I wonder how much of a possibility it is because, you know, seeing what the Blue Jays went through with starting pitching last year, I think they used 13 different starters. 2 years ago, might have been 2 years ago, where you had three starters go down in the space of four games. I think Alex Anthopoulos is going to be reticent to deal starting pitching, but you make good points. You know, you could free up some dough to get some help in some other spots. I would not trade R.A. Dickey. I think, you know, the contract is very affordable. He's a horse, 200 innings a year. And now he's got an ERA in the mid-threes. I mean, so does Burley, but Burley has been really, really up and down this year, and Dickey has been pretty steady since the end of April. And Mark Burley's making $19 million. Now, the thing is, you're going to have to swallow some of that $19 million, you would think, in order to deal him for any sort of return or even at all. But I would definitely explore the possibilities. I would test the waters. I would see what people had to say, what people were willing to offer, how excited anyone was to acquire him. And I believe there are teams that would love to have Mark Burley. And if they don't deal him, the Blue Jays would love to have Mark Burley back, though the price tag's a little high. But, yeah, I can see a scenario in which one of them doesn't come back next year.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. I guess it all depends on the return, what some teams would be willing to pay for Burley or Dickey. So, all right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Any trade always depends on the return. Every trade. But part of the return is salary relief. So that has to be in consideration. And salary relief is a very helpful thing when you're paying $19 million. Like, here's the thing. R.A. Dickey, Jay Happ, Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchison, and Aaron Sanchez combined next year will make slightly under $21 million. The five of them. Mark Burley's going to make 19. That's got to be a consideration going into this offseason. Blue Jays beat the Mariners 10-2 and are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs with the Royals' 7-1 win over the Cleveland Indians. Phone lines are open. Taking your calls at the top of the hour on Blue Jays Talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Darius in Toronto, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Hoping to talk about three separate comments, and I think I'll start with, just because it was a great night for Dalton Pompey, just a thought I had about, you know, getting into spring training next year. Obviously, it looked as though once we had benched Rasmus for this month, it looked like, you know, potentially Ghost would be taking over in center field or one of the outfield spots next year. There might be a little bit of an argument now or a little bit more of a competition with the emergence of Pompey. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on, I guess my first comment or question for you is what your thoughts are on that potential competition. If anything, opening up Ghost as a potential trade candidate in the offseason.
I don't know that we're there yet. I'm very impressed by Pompey. There's no question about that. And he looks like he may be as good a defender as Ghost is. He may be as fast as Ghost is. Both of which things just completely floor me. And there's a possibility that there's a competition. Is it enough to say let's deal Anthony Gose and go into next season with Dalton Pompey as the starting center fielder, and if he can't do it, Kevin Pillar? I don't think I'm ready to say that yet. But when I was talking to Joe Siddle during the broadcast, we brought up spring training and next year and all that stuff, and I kind of feel like I think next year you treat Dalton Pompey the same way you treated Aaron Sanchez this year. Almost no matter what he does in spring training, he's starting the year in the minor leagues. For Sanchez, it wound up being in the low minors, and he worked his way up. For Pompey, I think he starts in Buffalo no matter what, barring, you know, crazy injuries or whatever, next year. And you let him have some at-bats down there. You let him re-earn his way to the major leagues and be a little bit more cooked and a little bit more ready so that he doesn't have to go down again. I mean, he's only 21.
Right, right. Makes sense. That's a good point. And I guess if I could get to my next comment, I appreciate that. And just to get to my next comment, I know the previous caller mentioned something about Burley and the possibility of trading Burley. And I think you nailed it when you mentioned, you know, the price tag is obviously the one thing, you know, holding us back and having him in the rotation or hampering us in other spots. And I just want to think outside of the box here for a minute regarding Burley. And going back to spring training this year when we had the Santana controversy, Irvin Santana controversy, as far as
passing the hat and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently out of the four or five players that were publicly noted as far as, you know, willing to defer salary, Burley was the one player that was willing to defer the most. Now, I don't know. I have no evidence of that, but that
was also making the most, but I'm not sure either. But
yeah. And I'm just thinking, you know, Burley's at the end of the line as far as, you know, probably, I don't know how much longer he has left, and I'm sure we'll be able to field a competitive team next year, or at least sell him on that. And I'm wondering what the thoughts are on, instead of trading him, using him as an asset by being able to defer some of his money and utilizing that money that we're deferring towards the infield or other holes we're trying to fill.
It's an interesting thought. Not a precedent that I would be terribly happy about setting, but it is an interesting thought. Personally, I think... how can I put this? I think that there should be enough money available for the Blue Jays to be able to not do whatever they want, but do whatever they need to do. But if they run up against it again, the subject's been broached already, which makes it easier to broach a second time. You're right.
That's my point. I don't think I'd ever bring this up at all. It wouldn't even be a thought if it hadn't come public in spring training, but the fact that the ice has been broken, so to speak, on this, it might be something worth at least considering. I guess my final point, I appreciate the time, is the notion of trading Jose Reyes and, you know, at least considering, you know, right now what his potential value may be in the offseason, if any. And I think it'd be the same scenario we'd run into with the Burley that we just talked about was, you know, how much of that contract are we going to need to eat? And at that point, then, does it make sense to trade a Jose Reyes if we're going to be perhaps eating half that contract? So I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that. I mean, what your thoughts on the value, trade value for him would be, and you know, what's the balance with salary that we'd have to eat? Thanks a lot for your time today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for the good questions. I appreciate it. I don't know that they'll be able to trade Reyes and have someone take on the whole $66 million left on the contract for 3 years. But I don't know that they won't. And I was talking to a couple of the Mariners reporters and stuff, and you know, what are you going to do in the offseason? What are you going to do in the offseason? And I said, well, you know, maybe they're thinking about trading Reyes to you. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And I think that Seattle would love to have Reyes and Cano up the middle. They've got a ton of money. They play on grass. All of that stuff. I think that, you know, there's a potential fit for him there. I think there's a potential fit for him in a few different places, all on natural grass, that teams would be very interested. I mean, this is a guy who is still a terrific offensive performer, especially for a middle infielder. He's a game changer on the bases. He's got 30 stolen bases this year, and he's only been caught twice. There's value there. I don't know, there's $22 million a year in value. There's value. And you can move Reyes, I would think, without having to eat a bunch of contract. I don't know if you want to move Reyes, but I don't know if you'll want him back at shortstop either. And if the only way to move him off of shortstop is to deal him, well, and you may potentially be opening a pair of big holes at the top of your lineup if you trade Reyes and Melky Cabrera leaves. So all those things need to be taken into consideration. I agree with what Jeff Blair said. I don't know if it was yesterday or today on his fine program. The first thing the Blue Jays have to do this offseason is resolve Melky. Whether they sign him or whether he leaves, I should actually phrase it differently. Whether he stays or goes, because it is entirely up to him. Whether he stays or goes has to be figured out before they do anything else. But all those other things are on the table. Blue Jays beat the Mariners 10-2 on the night on which they are officially eliminated from playoff consideration. I'm not going to be here the next two nights. Ben Ennis will be in this seat. So if you want to talk to me, it's now or it's Friday night. Let's go out to Bob in Kitchener. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mike. How are you, sir?
I am all right, thank you.
That's good. Well, I enjoyed this season, and they also drove me nuts this season.
It's not over. Five games left.
I know. But I could think of one team that could use a shortstop if they think about trading Reyes. One guy's retiring.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they've got their heart set on Troy Tulowitzki,
yep.
And Tulowitzki's got his heart set on New York. But sure. I mean,
they could rub it into the Mets, kind of have him come play for the Yankees.
And he still lives there and all that stuff?
And I have a question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have an option on Adam Lind, but what do you think they're going to do? I mean, the last couple of years he's missed time because of a back.
Yep.
And do you think they may pick him up or let him go? I like him. He's a good player and he seems to be a good citizen. But, I mean, it was a bad back. I don't know. That's the only question.
You cannot not pick up the option on Adam Lind.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, it's first of all, he's performing at such a high level. You're right. The injury, the back. I mean, it was a broken toe that knocked him out for a month this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an accident.
But yeah, the back has been an issue. But he's performing at such a high level, and the option is so cheap, $7.5 million, and really only $6.5 million in real money for the Blue Jays because the $1 million buyout counts against their budget this year. You can't not sign Adam Lind. Now, once you pick up his option, you can trade him. But and he's a very valuable player at his price.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely, the option on Lind gets picked
up. Okay, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What do you think of Kawasaki and Gomes at second base next year?
How do you work that?
Have Kawasaki start and Gomes Ryan come in later on?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, I think if you're going to do that, you might as well just have Gomes playing.
Yep.
Because Kawasaki is nowhere near the defender he is, and he's not an especially good hitter. I mean, if you've got a top-flight offensive player that you've got who's and you've got Ryan Goins and you want to use Goins for the last few innings and stuff, then fine. But Kawasaki's not that. And it seems like the more he plays, the worse he performs. He was 0 for 4 today.
Oh, yeah?
Which means in September, he's 5 for 30. And he's still getting on base, but you're not dealing with an elite-level hitter or even a really above-average hitter. So, for me, if it's a choice between the two of them, I'll choose Goins for the glove. But I'd much rather have a more complete player at second base every day.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays take down the Mariners 10-2. Brandon in Toronto, welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I continue to be well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I actually went to the game at the Rogers Center for the past 2 days. They've been pretty intimate gatherings, I would say.
Yeah, you should keep coming. They seem to score a lot of runs when you're around. But, yeah, the crowds have been short, no question about it. 15-5 last night, 16-2 tonight. But that's what happens when, you know, when you're out of the race and there's preseason hockey going on next door.
Yeah, but you better believe that crowd went nuts when Pape hit his first home run, and everybody in that crowd knew the significance of that.
I'm glad. I mean, I know they went nuts. I was here. I went nuts, too. I wonder if you could hear me out there. But yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and that's what we've seen with the smaller crowds in the few games that there have been the smaller crowds, really into it and really knowledgeable, and I've been really impressed. It's just too bad there weren't more people around.
Yeah, I agree. So my question is really just about Juan Francisco for next year. I mean, last night he had a really ugly at-bat. He struck out on three pitches. The third pitch was like a 94 or something fastball looking, which is really surprising. He usually crushes that kind of stuff. And today, you know, he had a soft grounder in the second. What do you think will be the fate of Juan Francisco next year?
I'm confident that they will not tender him a contract.
Do you think another team will pick him up?
Yeah, sure. He's only 27. And he's got a ton of power. I mean, maybe they bring him back on a minor league deal. That's certainly a possibility. I don't see him getting a major league contract anywhere. I can definitely see a non-tender and him coming back on a minor league deal and playing third base in Buffalo and trying to figure things out. We know it's in there. It just he's got to learn to recognize pitches better.
Right. I think it really speaks to the scouting and the adjustments at the major league level, because when he first came up, he was just ripping it up, right? Like he was on pace to be like the best hitter in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but it was only for 3 weeks. And then everyone discovered that all you have to do is throw him a curveball. There are a lot of guys who, you know, there are pro scouts' eyes on them who can adjust back to the adjustments made on them. Juan Francisco, to this point, does not appear to be one of those guys. Music means we're out of time. Again, Ben Ennis in this chair tomorrow and Thursday. I'm off for Rosh Hashanah. I hope you all enjoy him and enjoy the next couple of games. Thanks to all of you for calling. 7 o'clock, Mark Burley against Taiwan Walker tomorrow. See you then.